Rudy put a big emphasis on what we might now call getting your act together. He truly saw our lives in the world as being very meaningful, that we had stuff to do, and that part of the essential of spiritual growth is manifested in how you live. A lot of people pursue spiritual life because they feel so frustrated by their lives that they can't get their act together. That somehow life, they feel, has betrayed them, and therefore the spiritual realm is the one place where they can find solace and comfort. But it's very hard to find solace and comfort when you don't feel good about your life. You don't feel good about you in your life. And it's a struggle for many people because life does not always accommodate. Often there is a sense of endless obstruction. And then there are many people who get their lives together who actually don't have their spiritual life working at all. It's really a terrible dilemma. They have good jobs, good marriages, good homes, and everything else, but they have no sense that this is part of anything beyond that. Let me try to put it simply. Every image you see, or many images you see of the Hindu deities, or even the Tibetan deities, they are standing on top of either a human form or an animal form. Often you see a human being lying on the ground, and there is this vast force above it. And the human being often seems to be in a kind of prostrated state, or the animal seems to be weighted down by this vast, powerful force. What it really depicts, in a certain sense, is man recognizing the transcendent, recognizing something greater than itself. And it has learned, in a sense, to become subservient to this higher force. This subservience is essential, in a way, to truly getting your act together. Because it involves taming you, taming all of your interior animalistic aspect, and becoming an adult, a human being. Louise,
yeah.
Relax.
Okay.
Relax. It is the job of a parent to tame the child. A child, in many ways, is an untamed animal energy. And all it wants is its ego expression. Me, mine now. Gimme, 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 gimme. I want, I want, I want. And the unbelievable arrival of no at the age of two. No. No. this thing that comes out of a child, and something has to tame that. Because if it doesn't tame that, if it doesn't get it under control, what happens is this animalistic voice runs wild and rampant in the world. Many of us are not well parented. Many of us do not get that under control, or just the opposite. It is forced under so much control that there is no sense of freedom and openness and personality left. All you are is a kind of constricted being because you've been tamped down so much by the outer forces of parental control, or the laissez-faire parent who lets you just do whatever you want to do and then you spend the rest of your life in therapy. Somehow or another, one has to be parented. One has to begin to get this sense of, I am in charge here. Something is in charge here. Because if you don't feel something is in charge, you live in a state of a kind of underlying terror. One of the great roles of a teacher, certainly one that Rudy played for me, was to reparent. He became my new father. Not that I was badly parented, I wasn't. I was well parented. But there were things that were left undone, and Rudy took charge of that. One of the things I rebelled against as a child was work, mowing the lawn, for example. I never did it, at least not happily. Rudy made sure I worked. Rudy found endless opportunity in his environment to say, Bruce, do this. He created the whole ashram in upstate New York, not just for me, but for all of those of us who never mowed the lawn. And he made us do unbelievable, endless work. And I knew as I was doing it, I was paying back all the years I didn't take charge of my own laziness, that I didn't discover my capacity to work. Rudy was giving me that opportunity. It was an enormous gift. I wasn't able to write at that point in time. Rudy wrote a musical with lyrics and everything. And or he wrote the lyrics and he said, Bruce, write the musical, write the book. So he gave me 20 songs and he said, write this. The songs were not great. And what I wrote in the end wasn't great, but he took charge of getting me to do this very thing. To create, to write, to take charge of my literary, creative life. It was a wonderful job. It was a wonderful parenting moment. He allowed me to overcome, if you will, my laziness, my resistance, my rejection, my sense of impossibility in facing this task. He just said, do it. And because I loved Rudy and because I really respected what he was trying to do for me, I did it. And I began my creative life as a result of that demand. Something in us has to make those demands. Something in us has to get over our laziness, over our sense of self-loathing or non-worthiness. Whatever it is that is playing out inside us, we have to get beyond that. Now, one of the ways we create real difficulty for ourselves is we say, the only way I can be worthy is if I do this one thing. Become a movie star. Meet a lot of people in Hollywood like that. The only way I'll be worthy is if I become a movie star. Well, I have never met a movie star who felt worthy. They felt all sorts of other things, but worthy was never it. There's a sense of one has to begin to master one's life. Master oneself. Master one's mind. Take charge. That's really what mastermind means. Mind over matter, even, really means that you have taken charge of you. And really what that means is you've taken charge of your reaction to your own sense of self, to your own limitations. Not that you can change the world. You can't make yourself the movie star or the whatever the thing you want to be. You can, however, make yourself the person you want to be. And the person you want to be will find satisfaction, will find joy in the world. You may not get the specific things you want, but you will be the person you want to be in life. And that person is expressed in so many ways, not just in success, but in failure even. It's expressed in how you live your day, how you respond to another human being, how you look at yourself. You begin to create a kind of dynamic in which you are riding the horses of your existence. You are controlling the driver. You are the driver of your life. And that all these other forces, the things that pull you down, that weight you down, that cause you suffering, you can just look at them and you can go, you can become parental. You can either, if you need to, say, stop that now, or you can say, come here, honey, it's okay. It's going to be fine. Just ride this out. Parenting. You can be a parent. A lot of you, when I say parent, immediately think father. Father figure. Mothering is just as good. You can mother yourself. Not mothering yourself in, it doesn't matter, don't worry about it, everything's going to be fine, but I understand. I understand. I love you and I have deep compassion for what you are going through, but it will be fine and you have the energy and the capacity to ride this out and to do more. That kind of mothering. The kind of mothering some of us got and some of us didn't get. It's really, really essential to take charge of those aspects of yourself and find in yourself an ability to truly care for you. But that also involves, and this is essential, a kind of disciplinary aspect. A part of you that says, stop doing that. Stop acting that way. Stop believing that you can't have or you can't do. Or stop believing that you're a fool or that you're a lazy person or whatever. Turn it around. How do you turn it around? Well, the realm of exercise. And you know, discipline is often uncomfortable. And a lot of people don't like to do it. But find one. Exercise being one of the easiest and one of the best things you can do. The thing about exercise is that it makes you feel so good, and yet there's this enormous resistance in many people, not all of you, but some of us, to doing it. I was always a person who hated exercise, but for 20 years I swam, and for 10 years I've been on a treadmill, and you know, it's just something you do, and it is a kind of understanding that you will benefit from the exercise and, more importantly, the discipline of doing something constructive. It overcomes the part of you that says, I would rather sleep an extra half hour. I would rather do something else. We all would rather do something else, but learning to take charge of these issues is what grows us and makes us, more than anything else, feel good about ourselves. As we begin to feel worthy in ourselves, then spiritual life can really emerge. Because when you don't feel good about yourself, you can't allow the universe to love you. You can't allow this godlike figure, this godlike being, to embrace you with its totality. Because there's always a part of you that's feeling, no, 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 I can't, I don't deserve. In a sense, you don't deserve. In a sense, you earn the right to deserve. We all earn it. And we earn it by taking on the responsibility of being an adult in our lives. Giving up the childish things. Giving up the things that we feel we want and wish we could have. You can't have it all. You get what you get. Be an adult. Find work, earn a living, pay the bills, be kind to other people, perhaps have a relationship that demands you work even harder. Perhaps bring children into the world, which takes suddenly 25 years of your life to be responsible. But boy, oh boy, does that give you grounding? Does it give you solidity? Does it give you purpose? And all of that translates into spiritual growth. And Rudy understood that. He really understood that working in the world, being in the world, functioning in the world is your spiritual growth. It's what it's all about. It's what we're here for. And stop worrying about your failures. Go toward successes. do something, and you will not always be acknowledged for it. But acknowledgement is not it. It's not the acknowledgement from outside. It's the acknowledgement from inside. And something in you knows when you're working well and you're really trying. You really know it. I've written scripts that have not only not been acknowledged, but have barely been seen by anybody. And they're on shelves, you know, and I don't feel these are failures. I just feel I worked my best to create these forms, to manifest these things in the world. And I feel very proud of the effort. I feel very fulfilled. I don't need everything I do to be ultimately embraced by the universe. It's not. But it is embraced by me. As we really grow and start to discipline ourselves, as we really start to become the interior adult of our lives, what happens is we start to become aware that there is a greater force at work, a greater shaping force than we even understand. And the true adulthood that arrives in spiritual work is that you understand the need to serve this greater force. You understand how you are being directed to serve. And the way you know you are serving, and you all do, every one of us knows how that we're doing it, because something in us feels right. It's a simple thing. You feel right. You know, we often try not to pay attention to these things, but when you're doing the right thing, you feel the right way. When you're doing the wrong thing, you feel the wrong way. Something in you just feels it, like this isn't quite the way it should go. And it's a problem for people because they don't want to hear that. Just like a child doesn't want to hear it. You say, no, you cannot have another cookie. What do you mean I can't have another cookie? You know, because you've just had four cookies, you can't have another one. And then there's the temper tantrum that goes on inside a child. I want, I want, I want. And the mother has to be very firm. No. Truly, that mother's voice becomes, in a sense, part of your own voice, which is called conscience. The know that you're getting from society and everybody around you becomes conscience. But also, preceding that is an even deeper conscience that knows you should not have a fifth cookie. You shouldn't have it. Something in you had enough. And you don't want to hear it, and still at this point, at the age of 60, almost 65, I still get angry when I'm denied the things that I want, but I look at it and I go, well, that's the way it goes. You know, you can't have it all. You're not supposed to have it all. And in the end, what you have is enough. You truly have enough. And conscience tells you when enough is enough. It says, here. And every human being gets, on some level, enough. I know that you can argue that point in terms of the looking at people in the world, but you know, some people suffer more, some people are given more practically, physically, but in truth, the real sense of enough is internal. The deepest sense of enough is that you are filled not with the stuff of the world, but with your being. And when you are full of your own being, trust me, you feel full. You feel enough. There's a voice in you that says, I don't need more. I don't have to have that. And you start to feel more and more comfortable. And as you begin to hear this deeper voice, it starts to drive you. It actually has been driving you your whole life. It even has been driving you into that cookie. It's even been driving you into the fifth thing, the thing that wants more, that demands more. That's how the universe works. The universe comes out of this extraordinary need to keep growing and expanding. And so we have that expanding force and we have the contracting force working simultaneously. We are all those things operating together. We are the ego and we are the God force, all in action simultaneously. And when you start to truly understand that, when you start to really know that your wishes and desires are part of something great, then you can follow those out. And when something comes and says, that's as far as you can go, you learn to go, okay. Okay. Sometimes the level of discomfort that follows that is so great you can't accept that okay, and you push a little further. And that tension between creation and relaxation is how the world is born. It's how life becomes real. It's how we manifest. And when you watch that dynamic, that tension, push-pull of life, and you see how you're engaged in it, rather than fight it, the next thing that happens spiritually is a kind of transcendence of that dynamic. And that's where you really wish to go. And when you start to stop fighting your life, when you've controlled enough of your life that you can see how it's working, there's this thing that just rises up and looks at the whole process, and you begin to acknowledge and appreciate that life is real, that your desires and your fears are real, that existence and all of the things you are facing are real, and that beyond that there is this extraordinary vision of the simple, pure joy of being. You cannot get to that place without getting your act together. You can't get there. If you are in a constant unconscious struggle with yourself and with life, spiritual work will have a difficult time rising up. Find this place in you that is willing to take on the responsibility of adulthood, take on your life, get your act together in whatever way that makes sense to you, and bring that to this meditation. Bring that to the table. You will find that once you do that, you can open to God, you can open to self, you can open to your own being, and you can receive what is waiting for you, which will be mostly the demand to continue your life and to continue to be responsible for whatever is delivered and whatever is asked of you. That is a spiritual life. Enough said. Any questions? Okay, thank you.